Hello, I'm Major Adrian Allman.
And I'm Captain Claire Allman.
Welcome to the Birmingham Citadel Salvation Army podcast series. Birmingham Citadel is a Christian church located in Birmingham city centre, here in the UK. Each episode is a recording of the Bible message that would normally be shared during the Sunday worship service.
While we're unable to meet together for worship, we will publish our podcasts at 10 a.m. every Sunday morning, and you can also see daily videos on our Facebook page and YouTube channel. It's good to have you share with us, and as you listen now, we pray that God will speak to you. May you know God's abundant blessing today.
Beautiful. Beautiful. How do you say it? Or do you say it like Bernard Matthews of the Turkey Farm fame, who would say, "Beautiful"? Well, however you say it, it's one of my favourite words. The word itself is just beautiful, and obviously the meaning is just beautiful as well. Beautiful is defined as something pleasing to the senses or mind. And in our Bible reading today, we hear of an incident at the magnificent Beautiful Gate, which was one of the most beautiful structures ever made by humankind. But we find a man here in an ugly situation. And so I invite you to pause me just now and read this story in Acts 3, 1 to 10. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, today I want to thank you for your gift of the Holy Spirit, which enables us to do far more than we can ask or imagine. As we hear your message this morning, may each of us have a new willingness to work with you and a greater desire for your Spirit to fill us anew, to experience the amazing, the beautiful, and the transformational in your name. Amen. So here we have the setting for today's thoughts: a beautiful gate, but a not so beautiful situation. The Bible does not give us the name of this man begging at the beautiful gate, but the information written about him in the scriptures say that he was a lame man and a beggar. In other words, he couldn't walk, and because he couldn't walk, he couldn't work. A beggar who had to be taken to the gate daily to beg. He had been carried from the time he was a baby, and even now in the middle ages of his life, he was still carried and laid at the gate in order to beg. He had no choice, for he had been that way from his mother's womb. This man was, by a beautiful gate, yet experiencing an ugly situation. You see, daily men and women go through the gate into the temple to worship God and often come out rejoicing, but this man's situation remained hopeless. The name Beautiful given to this gate was a daily reminder of what his life wasn't. Looking at the splendour, the wonderful and the beauty of this gate, he was daily reminded of the ugliness, suffering, dependence and pain and chaos that was associated with his life. The beggar couldn't walk, yet he saw people daily walking effortlessly through this beautiful gate into the temple, ignoring him. The temple was worth a fortune. It was beautiful to behold, but lying on its outside was a man who was an outcast. The lame man's condition limited his ability to function. He was only at the beautiful gate looking for a handout. He was dependent upon others to carry him and to take him wherever he had to go. He was outside the temple and he couldn't even go in. He was in the surroundings of the temple and heard all the prayers, the readings of the words and hymns being sung, yet he was all alone. But on a certain day and at an appointed time, things changed. God changed his story for the better. He had a beautiful experience. I'm reminded here of that kids' praise chorus that the singing company sing from time to time that says, in his time, he makes all things beautiful in his time. And today we're just going to look at this story and see the beautiful things that God can do through the work of the Holy Spirit in his time through his followers. There are three attitudes that I have picked out from this story which may help us not to miss the beautiful ways the Holy Spirit can work in our lives for the kingdom of God, and I want to share them with you today. Firstly, a beautiful attitude is a willingness to serve with who God places us with. I wonder if you can work out what the following famous duos all have in common. Abbott and Costello, Simon and Garfunkel, C-3PO and R2-D2, the Everly Brothers, Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers, John Lennon and Paul McCartney, Liam and Noel Gallagher. Can anyone guess the answer? The fact is that none of these famous duos got on with each other. Does that surprise you? It did me. Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers, really? The Everly Brothers, really? All I have to do is dream. Oh, think of how well they worked together. The sweet music they made, the graceful dancing, the brilliant laughs, the witty dialogue. It all came so perfectly together, and yet they got on each other's nerves. They were jealous of each other. They complained about each other. But they still had a willingness to work together, and it literally paid off. Their joint working made something beautiful. If you remember back to that special breakfast on the beach with Jesus and some of the disciples, in the conversation he had with Peter, there was a moment when Peter asked Jesus, what would happen to John? And when Jesus was telling Peter what was going to happen to him, Peter was all, well, what about him? Meaning, what about John? Well, Jesus basically told Peter to mind his own business. The manner in which Jesus responded suggested that Jesus had to deal with silly pettiness between Peter and John before, and theirs was not always the best relationship. Peter and John were friends, though, but they were opposites in personality, and sometimes that led to impatience and jealousy between the two. Peter was a lot more outspoken, while John was more reserved and didn't have much to say. One commentator described John as the perceptive eyewitness and Peter as the active disciple. During Christ's earthly ministry, there were times when Peter was jealous of John, and I absolutely believe that John probably thought to himself often that he wished Peter would just shut up. We see God taking these two men who were opposites and using them in a mighty way as a team together. Here they were, walking together to go and pray, and they come across this man. Right away, their personalities come into play. Peter speaks up while John observes. But together, they minister in the name of Jesus to this lame man and witness an incredibly beautiful experience of this man not only being able to walk, but expressing his joy and gratitude to the Lord straight away by leaping around singing. What a beautiful experience. You know, in life, we all have people who we don't always get on with, who we're completely different to, who get on our nerves, whose lifestyle we don't agree with, who we're jealous of even. Sometimes we even cut off our nose to spite our face and not get involved in something we really want to be part of because we know that person is involved as well. Or perhaps when you're at school and there was picking of the teams and there was always someone who was the last to be picked because maybe you didn't like them or think that what they had to offer was going to help you. And yet sometimes our skills and talents working together can make a beautiful combined force. But we miss out because of our judgments and attitudes to certain people. I bet as I'm saying this, one person comes to your mind straight away who you feel like this towards. We are all guilty of making judgments about other people. We are all guilty of not including people because we don't think they have anything of worth. We're all guilty of not doing something because you know someone else is involved. And I think when we do this, we miss out on the beautiful experiences that God, through his Holy Spirit, is wanting to do in yours or in someone else's life. Might it have been different if it was only John going to the temple that day? Might it have been different if it was only Peter? Well, we'll never know, but I suspect that God knew that Peter and John would balance each other out together on that day outside the beautiful gate where they ministered in the name of Jesus to this man, and the Holy Spirit did an amazing, transformational and beautiful thing. I don't know about you, but I don't want to miss out on those kind of beautiful experiences because of my own issues and judgments, often unfounded and unfair. So let's have a willingness to serve with who God puts there. Secondly, A beautiful attitude is a willingness to stop what we are doing and respond to God. This beggar was outside the temple gate, which was the last temple gate a Gentile man could walk through. He had no one to support him, and his only hope was the generosity of others as they went to the temple to worship. With no social system in place to help, and a belief of some religious groups that a physical problem meant that God was repaying you for your sin, beggars in the first century were in a much more dependent situation than perhaps today. So Peter and John approach the gate with the specific intention of going to pray. When the beggar speaks to them, instead of ignoring him like so many did, they stopped and listened to what he had to say. Peter and John could have kept walking, but they stopped. And this highlights to me that we often let ministry opportunities slip right by us because we're too busy doing our own thing. But here, they didn't. They stopped. The beggar asked Peter and John for money, but they had none to give. It would have been easier just to walk by. I mean, how many of us do that? If we're walking into town and we see a beggar, we just walk on by, right? Not even giving them eye contact or smiling at them or acknowledging that they're even there. I admit that I walk by many of the beggars today in the town centre. It's difficult to know what is best to do when you hear advice telling you not to give money to them and that a number are professional beggars and earning a good deal from begging. I know it's a judgment call. The preacher, Dr. Lloyd Ogilvie, studied for a year in Edinburgh. On one occasion, he was walking along the street and noticed a woman who was begging. He noticed she looked for a certain kind of person likely to give her something. Well, she stopped Dr. Ogilvie and told him a terrible tale, and he gave her some money. The next day he came by, she stopped him again, but looking at him, she said, "Och, I've done you before, on your way." Sometimes it can be difficult to stop what we're doing and respond to God, especially in these type of situations. It's hard to make that judgment. Will it be worthwhile? Am I going to look foolish? Am I going to get taken advantage of? But I do think that in these circumstances, the Holy Spirit works in us through our conscience, and how we respond to that is the key to having that beautiful experience. I heard a story just recently about someone who got their bike out of storage after some time in a friend's garage. It was pretty wrecked from having a whole load of stuff stored on top of it. It desperately needed a new seat, but the person in question had very little money, and buying a bike seat was very low on her shopping priorities, even though in the current climate it would have been really helpful to have. The next thing she knew, she had a call from an acquaintance explaining that it might be really weird him contacting her like this, but he believed God was directing him to buy a bike seat for her. A bike seat. Was this a coincidence? Really? A bike seat? I don't believe it was for one minute. I believe it was a willingness for someone to stop and respond to God. What a beautiful experience. This story at the beautiful gate says something about noticing the people who are around us, reaching out when we can, using the resources God has given us to bless others, and doing so in the name of Jesus. The truth is that the man thought his greatest need was a few coins. The Bible says he expected something from them. His greatest need, though, was Jesus. His greatest need was not coins or even healing. Notice it was in the name of Jesus. That was the source of the power of healing, strength, and it's the source of our salvation. Oh, now that's a beautiful experience not to miss. Thirdly, a beautiful attitude is a willingness to offer what we have. When the man begged for money from Peter and John, Peter said to him, "I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you." Peter is saying, "I don't have any money, but I do have something." You know, I think it's only human here to think, if I could only do something like Peter or Paul or one of those other great women or men of scripture, then I could really serve God. If I could only just heal somebody like Peter did, or if I could only speak like Paul did, then I could do something for God. But that's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Jesus was saying, shine your light. Shine with what you have, not with what you don't have. Peter could have told the lame man, "I don't have any money, so I can't help you," and just walk away. But that's not what he said, was it? He said, "I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you." The question I want to ask you this morning is, what do you have? You may not be able to sing or teach or find it easy to speak in public, but God isn't looking at what you can't do and what you don't have. All God wants to know is, what do you have that you'll use for me? Someone once observed, God does not ask your ability or your inability. He asks only your availability. I don't for 1 minute think that when Peter and John went for that walk to the temple, they thought they were going to be healing a man who couldn't walk. I do not think Peter thought he had the ability to do that. I mean, it's only Jesus that does that kind of thing, right? And yet a willingness to offer who we are for God to do the work in is the attitude which leads to the beautiful experience. I read this quote this week. God enables God's people to see themselves as God sees them, to do stuff they know they are incapable of doing, so that God might make use of them and make them to be both humble recipients and generous givers of grace, so that they may be part of God's big project on earth, so that they themselves might find unexpected joy through surprising situations. This is about God's power in us. When we give ourselves to him for his kingdom building, we find unexpected joy in surprising situations. Peter and John were broke. They had nothing to give him of practical worth, but they had something better to offer than a little money. They had the power of Jesus Christ to share with this man. They had everything to give him of spiritual and eternal worth. That excites me. See what power is in the name of Jesus. And as Christians, God has given us all the power we need. We need to offer it to those who are in need. I'm not talking about physical needs necessarily. I'm talking about the spiritual needs. Sometimes they don't even realize what they need. But how will they know unless we teach them? Pastor Nadia Boltz-Weber is quite a controversial and unique preacher in the United States. And what she says and the way she says it can kick you in the guts metaphorically and spiritually. And I'm reading her book, Accidental Saints, at the moment. And she writes this in the book: "My spirituality is most active in the moments when I realise God may have gotten something beautiful done through me, despite me. And when I'm confronted by the mercy of the gospel so much that I cannot hate my enemies. And when I'm unable to judge the sin of someone else, which, let's be honest, I love to do, because my own rubbish is too much in the way. And when I have to bear witness to another human's suffering despite my desire to be left alone. And when I'm forgiven by someone even though I don't deserve it. And when traumatic things happen in the world and I have nowhere to place them or make sense of them, but what I do have is a group of people who will gather with me every week, people who will mourn and pray with me over the devastation. And when I end up changed by loving someone I never choose out of a catalogue, but whom God sends my way to teach me about God's grace." You know, I think this is about us seeing ourselves as God sees us. As beautiful but imperfect people who, when we make ourselves available to God's guiding and offer our very selves, imperfections and all, to be part of God's big project on earth, we might find unexpected joy through surprising situations, and others might know the transformational power of God in their lives. This Bible reading is about having a willing attitude in any and every situation to be led by the Holy Spirit as we are, warts and all. What a beautiful experience. Francis Ridley Havergal wrote those beautiful words, "Take my life and let it be." as we spend some time in prayer and reflection right now and listen to a beautiful arrangement of this song, I encourage you to get your songbooks out or to look these words up online and really take them in and perhaps imagine all the beautiful experiences you can have in the name of the Lord by being willing to just offer yourselves in the everyday things of life and see the beautiful work God can do in and through you. Go on. You've got nothing to lose but everything to gain. So let's take these moments now to listen to this song and to what God has to say to us. And then I'll pray with you. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. So now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast this week.
So you don't miss any further recordings, please subscribe to this podcast and also share and review it to help other people find and join our Birmingham Citadel online congregation.
This has been a production for Birmingham Citadel Salvation Army in the United Kingdom. If you'd like to know more about us or want to worship with us, then visit our webpage at birminghamcitadel.co.uk.